You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. He's speaking to us from Florida. Welcome back to the show, Sean.
Thanks for having me on.
Sean, of course, Florida, whereabouts, and did you get any really cold weather?
Well, cold for Florida, but the rest of the world, especially Canada, would scoff at it. I mean, you know, we put on thick jackets, but you'd probably be walking around in a hoodie sweatshirt, you know? I mean, it got down to the 40s at one point, but and that's in Fahrenheit. And I don't think you guys would be impressed with anything that happened down here weather-wise. So we're fine. We're blessed. We live in Florida. This is why we live in Florida.
Now, AI wars. NVIDIA, boy, sure took it on the chin.
Yes, but, you know, other things get hit harder. And I say that because I have NVIDIA in the Supercycle Investor portfolio. And, yeah, it got hit, and it's getting hit again today. But not down much in my portfolio, but I bought it a while ago. But things that got hit harder were the data center energy stocks that are going to feed into the whole AI revolution. Those got shellacked on Monday. And you know what else got hit? And rather unfairly, I might say, uranium stocks. And if people think that a change in the forecast of how much energy data centers will use is any effect on the long-term supply-demand picture for uranium, they're just wrong. So what we really saw on Monday, this is my view, others will differ, what we really saw was hopium running out of the market. That is, many of these stocks were up higher on hopes that they were going to do even better. Now they come crashing down to earth, but there are some great buys in there, especially in the uranium stocks, and I think they look very good. And even my energy data center stocks, I mean, they're still underwater after Monday, but they're bouncing back rather nicely. So I didn't sell on those. I think they'll recover. And so I'm actually feeling pretty optimistic about everything. Oh, and I mean, there's one more thing that I want to mention on the AI thing. One thing I think people should be looking at is, just in case the Chinese are not lying to us, that is an if, in case they aren't and AI is going to get much cheaper, they should think about those stocks of those companies that will benefit from cheaper AI. In other words, those companies that they aren't chip-like makers, they aren't building fancy AI programs, but they were planning to be customers of those AI programs, and now potentially their costs are going to go way down. Those stocks could actually profit quite a lot.
Now, is this when you say cheaper AI, is it as good as the NVIDIA AI?
No one knows. I mean, the Chinese say it is. And the people behind OpenAI say, well, you know, there's a lot of qualifiers. Is it as good? It all depends on what you want it to do. I was having a fascinating conversation with the head of a company that's in the West that's building its own AI program, which is modeled on the human brain. And so it takes a very different approach, and it's supposedly, according to their benchmark tests, cheaper than OpenAI and a lot less expensive to run than OpenAI. Is any of this stuff going to work? There's a big difference between what people say they've accomplished in the lab and what happens in the real world. I think that China did make something that runs cheaply, but do you want your sensitive information to run on that platform? I think that's a question many companies will be asking themselves. So it might be cheaper in the same way that, say, turpentine's cheaper than whiskey. You know, I mean, do you want to drink like turpentine? Maybe you don't. Because if it, now, it is open source, which means you can look at the code. That's absolutely true. But there also could be vulnerabilities in there. And everybody can look at that open source code so they can figure out what the vulnerabilities are. That's why we're still going to see some companies build their own proprietary AI models, because they don't want anybody messing with their stuff. So we'll have to see how it goes. It's still early days. We haven't heard any big announcements of shifting of resources from the big companies that are actually going to be using AI in a big way. And I'm talking about Meta and Google and, you know, all the rest of them. They, Microsoft, they aren't making any big changes to plans now, which means, as far as I can figure out, even the data center stocks are still fine. You know, because these companies are making big long-term plans. They might be able to do things cheaper, but as was pointed out Monday, that just means that they might do a lot more of it. They might do a lot more AI. The ones that should be worried, and let's be honest about that, is companies like NVIDIA. If they can run these fancy pants programs on much cheaper chips, that is kind of worrisome. Now, NVIDIA says, well, we'll just sell a lot more of the cheaper chips. And that might be true as well. But I have to think that it could kind of hurt them on the high end. That said, we have NVIDIA in the Supercycle Investor Program. I'm not a seller at this time. I still think, you know, it has a lot of potential. So I'm not worried about it. I think the title of the piece I sent out to my Supercycle Investor subscribers on Monday, what did I write? I think I wrote, how to stay calm in the face of a deep-seeking missile. Mm-hmm. And so my whole view is they should golf and let me worry about it for the next week. In the next few weeks, we'll have a much better idea of what this is, and then we can make plans. But I'm not panicking. As the old saying on Wall Street goes, if you're going to panic, panic early. We didn't sell on Monday. We aren't selling now. We're going to reassess things and see what looks good. And again, I have to emphasize, there are opportunities. If cheaper AI is coming, there are companies that will do a lot better because of that.
Is Microsoft looking to buy TikTok?
I don't know. I've heard so many weird things about who's going to buy TikTok. The whole thing's a scam. You know, I mean, it's just rich billionaire tech pros using the government to put pressure on this Chinese company to sell so they can buy it. I could not care less. I'm not a TikTok user, though. And I know for some people it's very important. You know, that's where they make their livelihood, or else that's where they connect with people. I'm an old fart, and I do not care about TikTok. And so that's basically, you know, the upside of it. I care about things that I'm going to make money about. And that includes things like AI. It includes things like cybersecurity. It includes things like metals. I mean, I think precious metals will look very good. But, and this is a slight twist, and I'm sorry, and I hope you don't mind if we go on a bit of a side tangent. Canadian steel could be in trouble, you know. I mean, because of the new tariffs they're talking about for Canada and Mexico starting in February. Now, Trump said a 25% tariff, but it's become quite obvious, at least to me, maybe not to everyone, at least to me, that he's using the tariffs as a negotiating cudgel. He says, either you do things my way or I will hit you with this. Well, I don't think he wants to make, for example, U.S. homes a lot more expensive. Is he going to put a 25% tariff on Canadian lumber? I think that would be insane. Not if he wants to get any Republicans elected in the next midterms. No, that would be dumb. So, but what he will do is he'll use it selectively. And one area we saw him put tariffs on in his first term was on Canadian steel, because the U.S. steelmakers, rightly or wrongly, say that it's actually a backdoor for China to dump steel into the U.S., and they're making the same complaints now. So I think we will see higher tariffs on certain areas, you know, and this will start in February. But I don't think it'll be broad tariffs. Not if his recent actions are any indication. I could be wrong. That's always the risk with a wild card like Trump. You never know what he's going to do until he finally does it. But from the indications we have now, the tariffs aren't going to be as bad as threatened. But there will be some tariffs, and I would think steel would be one of the places where those tariffs come to hit.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, what's going on with gold?
Oh, you know, the funny thing is, I just did a presentation for the Money Show yesterday morning on five gold stocks that need to be in your portfolio right now. Normally, when I give that kind of presentation, gold responds by falling to, you know, falling by at least $20 or $30. Instead, what's happening is gold is going to new highs. And, really interesting, finally we're starting to see the miners catch up. The miners have lagged gold for quite a while now. Now we're seeing some tremendous moves in, I won't say all mining stocks, but select gold and silver mining stocks doing very, very well. And so I'm excited about that. There are long-term forces driving this. There's also cyclical forces, and there are short-term forces. For example, TD Securities put out a note, landed on my desk, I think it was yesterday. God, it's all a blur now. But anyway, it said that there's a, quote, mystery buyer, unquote, in Asia that's scooping up gold on any dip. They said what that is, it's not one buyer, it's a small group of, like, people in China that are really making an effort to get as much gold as possible. These funds, these people, these companies, whoever they are very bullish on gold, and so they're actually affecting the market right now. Now, they could stop buying, but if they're starting this program, I would say their end game is at much higher gold prices, right? And so that's something to keep in mind. When you have companies coming in and, like, really starting to speculate like this, I'm sure 6 months down the road we'll hear that a bunch of Chinese hedge funds or something have really loaded up on gold, but it's happening now. And that's one of the bullish forces for gold. And that's the short-term force. We have the central bank buying. We have other things going on. So yeah, I am bullish on gold, especially, well, two reasons. One reason is they really aren't finding a lot more of it. I mean, I have a great chart in my presentation that shows just how pitiful gold discoveries have gotten. You know, I mean, they just aren't finding it in the big amounts that they used to. The other reason is, this brings us back to the wild card, what will Trump do with taxes and the budget and stuff like that? I think it's just going to be incredible spending without paying for it. And that tends to be good for gold. So there's a bunch of forces put together, and we'll have to see how it goes. But yes, I'm very bullish on the precious metals. I gave people five picks for free yesterday. I have loaded up my subscribers on new stuff, and they get a new pick this week. And, you know, I mean, I think we are going to be looking at much higher gold prices by the end of the year.
Yeah. Now, if you're looking for a nice place to drop by and visit and live in Vancouver, the Crown Prince of Dubai is putting his four penthouse units at the Fairmont Pacific Rim up for sale for $40 million.
Well, that's it. I'm buying one right now.
You know, the view will be terrific.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought he'd be sticking around until they played the World Cup soccer games here.
Who knows what really rich people do? They live in their own universe. You know, it's just crazy. Who knows?
With the downturn in uranium, does that present a buying opportunity?
Yeah. In a big way. I mean, these things are cheap. And especially, again, the reaction on Monday was completely knee-jerk, and it was wrong. There are big long-term trends in nuclear power and in the uranium industry that just point to more and more demand. So many of these stocks are cheap. I actually added new ones last week, which was the wrong time to add them, right? Because we got kicked in the teeth on Monday. But guess what? They're picking themselves up again. As with many things in the market, stocks take the stairs up and the elevator down. Well, they took a big elevator trip down on Monday, but they're starting to climb the stairs again. And so this is a great time to pick them up. Yes, buy uranium.
Anything else you got a close eye on right now?
Oh, boy. You know, I'm seeing opportunity all over the place, but so much depends on what happens with the tariffs and, to a lesser extent, what happens with taxes and the budget, you know? So I am holding my cards close to my vest otherwise, but I would say keep your eye what happens come February. That'll probably be an indicator of what's going to happen for the rest of the year with the tariffs. And let's see how the budget battles go. But there's plenty of opportunity out there in things, for example, natural gas. And we haven't even talked about oil. My oil stocks are up today. That's great news, huh? So, I mean, there's all sorts of opportunities out there. I think this could be a good year. Might not be as good a year as last year, you know, which was a great year. But it's still going to be a good year. And that means you shouldn't be sitting on your hands. You should be putting money to work.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Hey, thanks. It was great fun.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our popular YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.